Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark. The Unknown Presence. My story actually dates back to when I was about 10 at my old house, when I saw what I thought was my dead uncle, whom I never met, but only saw pictures of and heard about. He died in a car accident with my dad, but my dad survived. About four people said they saw him the day he died, in the house, walking down the stairs or knocking on the door. I saw him sitting on my couch and I literally ran upstairs as fast as I could. I later heard him whispering my name when I was drawing late on night. Fast forward to last year, I was laying in bed watching TV when I felt something or someone lay next to me, or at least put some pressure on the bed to make the bed go down even more. The bedroom light was on, so I didn't really panic or anything. I just laid there wondering if what just happened was real. Later that night, I was trying to astral project and my guitar that was leaning against my wall made a noise that it can only make when someone walks past it. It's kind of like a pressure asserted on the neck of the guitar that makes the tuning knobs click. If I were to walk past it, the sound would follow almost every time. So after I heard the sound, I tried to play it off like it just happened by coincidence, but then it happened again. I was certain that some sort of presence was in my room, because when meditating and achieving a trance state, I became very much aware of things I normally wouldn't. It's tough to explain to anyone who does not practice astral projection, but it's like having another sense opening up. So after all these events went down, I was officially convinced that I had a ghost in my house. I must also mention that a few years back, I saw a black shadow pass through the crack of one of my doors where light was shining through. And when I went to turn on the light in the room I was in, it shattered. I was scared shitless. The day after the bed and guitar thing happened, I wanted to tell my dad, but I knew he didn't really believe in that sort of stuff. But I began to tell him anyway, and he stopped me and said, "Were you home around 3:30 p.m. yesterday?" But I was at work, so I said no and asked why he asked. And he said that he had heard footsteps around or upstairs when he was downstairs grading papers. He said he called out to both me and my brother's name because he was sure that someone was home. This pretty much convinced my dad that something freaky was going on in my house. The coldest touch. It was not more than a year ago where I had experienced the most dreadful feeling when I was touched by a ghost. At least, I feel like it was a ghost. Here is my story. It was late February and the snow was just melting away. My little sister was spending the night with her friend, and my little brother was doing the same at my cousin's house. I was living the life of an only child, to which I never want to do ever again. I had just finished watching a rerun on TV in our downstairs family room, and I was getting a little bit tired. So I turned off the TV and walked up to my room in the dark. When I turned on my light, it was as if I had replenished again, so I started watching my own TV. As I did so, I had closed my door and locked it, that way I could change into my pajamas. I laid in my bed, watched a couple of movies, and finally I felt tired like before. I checked my room again. I made sure the window and the door were locked and that my closet was closed so that the cat couldn't get into it again. I turned the TV off. I couldn't fall asleep for some reason, so I started to count sheep. All of a sudden, I heard someone walking on the stairs. At first, I thought it was my mom or dad, who happened to be in their room across the hall fast asleep. I looked at the crack of my door. There was no light on. I heard the steps go up the stairs, then down the stairs, then up again. It continued and went down the stairs, then started slowly coming back up. I coughed and I heard it run up the stairs extra fast. I then heard my doorknob moving as if someone were trying to get in. Now let me tell you, if it was my mom or dad, they would have already been yelling at me for locking the door. but I didn't hear any yelling, just constant breathing and huffing to get through the door. It suddenly stopped. A few seconds later, I heard the door unlock. I then thought to myself, there is no key to my room. As a matter of fact, there is no keyhole to the knob. Swoosh. The door then flies open and hits the back wall. I then retreated under my blankets and then pitched myself because for a moment I thought I was in a terrible dream. I wasn't. I then heard the person walk slowly into my room and stand right beside my bed. Then it touched me. Both cold hands were on my back. Freezing cold hands. As soon as I felt that, I screamed out, Mom! Dad! Papa! Papa! Please help me! Papa! After that, I heard everything go backwards. It walked out, closed the door, locked it, rattled the knob, walked up and down the stairs, and then was gone. Seriously, no one believes me. My mom and dad said they didn't hear a thing, and no one else was there with me. But I know what I heard and what I experienced. To me, it was all true. The village ruins. This story has been passed to me and now, in a sense, to you. It was handed to me by my elder brother and sister who both, when questioned separately, stated the same details. As children, my older brother and sister would sometimes make use of the forest nearby their home. This, for those who are curious, was before I was born. My brother and sister are quite older than I, playing there from time to time. Our father had taken on the task of caring for a friend's feline pet, a domestic cat, of course. The cat, while under his care, managed to escape. Fearing his friend's response to the fact that the animal had gone missing, he sent out a search party, which was my brother and sister, their destination, the woods. My brother and sister set out to find the cat, more than likely against their will, but determined nonetheless. They wandered further and further into the woods, searching and searching. They came up empty-handed, not a cat to be found. It was beginning to get dark. They did not have much time. Continuing the search, they wandered between a pair of trees and into the broken ghostly remains of what they referred to as a village. There wasn't much, the frames of old buildings, perhaps lost long ago in a fire, but the empty remains were the least of their worries. As it was getting even darker, they began to head back. But wait, the direction in which they came simply led them right back into the remains of the village. Around and around they went, but ended right back in the village. Until it hit them, the two trees. They began looking for the same two trees through which they entered. At last they found them. They walked once again between the two trees, and as if by magic, passed back to their path home. They could only enter the village and likewise leave by walking between these specific trees. As it became darker, they finally arrived home safe. And as it turns out, the cat had been hiding at home all along. But their quest to find the cat led them to a strange place that I'm sure they will never forget. Perhaps it was a portal to a piece of the past. No one knows, and I doubt that anyone ever will. Dark haunting. I've had many paranormal experiences, but the one that stands out the most for me happened a long time ago when I was still a child. I grew up next to a home that had a violent past. The first owners were killed by an escaped convict, and their youngest son was beheaded and his head was never found. Supposedly, it was tossed into a gravel pit that was nearby at the time. The next couple to purchase the home split up, and the wife, along with her months-old baby, jumped from the upstairs window and fell to their deaths. Well, you get the picture. Due to a snowstorm that had fallen on our town, my mother and father, not being able to get home to me and my brother, we had the misfortune of having to stay with our neighbors for the night. Needless to say, my brother and I were scared to begin with because we all knew of the happenings in this house. At first, nothing seemed out of the ordinary. But as the night wore on, strange things began to happen. The first thing to take place was while we were all sitting in the living room watching TV, we could hear someone in the kitchen doing the dishes. there was no one else in the house, and there were no dishes in the sink to be done. So we all went back into the living room. Then we heard glass breaking in the bathroom. This caused everyone to jump and run to see what had broken and how. There was no broken glass anywhere, and everything seemed okay. Things settled down for a while. I thought, if this is the worst that was going to happen, then I'm going to be okay. Boy, was I wrong. I was laying on my neighbor's couch, just about to fall asleep, when a rocking chair began rocking all by itself, and I heard the faint sound of a baby crying. As if this wasn't scary enough, I soon heard footsteps coming down the stairs and the little boy's voice calling, "Mommy." Scared as I was, I went to the stairs to see if someone was just playing with me. I knew it wasn't my brother because he was already asleep. There was no one there. I ran and put my head under the covers and didn't come out until morning. I spoke with my neighbors and asked them how they could stay in a house like that, and they said that they were just used to it and didn't pay that much attention to it anymore. Sally. Selling real estate is an adventure unto itself. Sellers and buyers are always full of surprises, but occasionally the homes hold a few of their own. In April 1989, I did not believe in ghosts. No real reason to, it wasn't logical, but unfortunately, this story is true. That spring, I listed a beautiful 200-year-old Italianate mansion on 6 acres. The home was halfway through renovations when the owner gave me my first tour. We walked through the grand entryway separating the twin front parlors. The one on the left served as a living room. A beautiful antique grand piano nearly filled the music room in the right parlor. A large formal dining room, and just beyond, and a renovated gourmet kitchen and bath finished the first floor tour. We walked up the wide curved staircase in the center of the home, circling to the third floor tower. The tower was one room surrounded by windows, where one could overlook the entire farm and surrounding countryside. Heading down to the second floor, 5 of the bedrooms were in various stages of construction, that is, all but one. The 6th bedroom, painted a sunny yellow with white trim, was left untouched. The owner explained that room couldn't be changed. If they tried to paint it, the new paint faded and the yellow walls greeted them again the next morning. The temperature in that one room was a constant 70 degrees no matter what season. It was the young son's room of the owner's in the late 1800s, and she said he was one of the ghosts in the house. When you walked in that room, you felt a presence, as if someone was there. It was a calm presence, but it felt as if eyes were on you. I wanted out of that room, but I don't believe in ghosts. According to the owner, sightings had been seen of a young boy, a man, and 2 men while only her family was at home. While the workmen were there, tools disappeared all over the home, never to be seen again. Noises of something being dragged and footsteps coming from upstairs while the workmen were downstairs were reported. I, of course, totally discounted the stories because I don't believe in ghosts. "Goodbye," I said to my new client. "It's been a most enjoyable afternoon." I left, excited about my unique historical listing, and couldn't wait for my first open house in 2 weeks. The day of the open house was beautiful, 60 degrees and sunny. Tools were put away. The home gleamed. Visitors entered in the kitchen door where they sampled homemade donuts, mint iced tea, and coffee while they waited for one of 2 agents to take them on a tour. The agent then led the prospective buyer out the front door and returned to the kitchen for the next visitor. Towards the end of the 3-hour opening, I let a very nice woman out the front door where a cold breeze hit me when I closed the door. Turning to go back to the kitchen, I glanced to my right. Sitting at the piano in the music room was a young woman, dressed in a plain gray dress, her dark hair drawn back in a bun. Her large dark eyes held no light. She was sitting quietly, just looking down at the keys. No music was playing. The hair on the back of my neck rose with the goosebumps. Startled by seeing a visitor unattended, I went back to the kitchen to find the other agent. Why is there someone wandering around the house without you? There is no one else here, the other agent answered. Well, maybe she came in the front door, I agreed. In that case, there is a lady waiting for you in the music room. The owner asked, what does she look like? As I described her, the owner smiled. You've just met Sally. Who's that? I asked with some apprehension. Our ghost. The hair on the nape of my neck stood up and I broke out in goosebumps yet again as I raced back to the front rooms. The music room was empty. The living area also empty. I ran up the stairs. The bedrooms were empty. Only one place left, the tower. Taking the stairs two at a time, I reached the door. It squeaked as it slowly opened. Empty. She was gone, vanished. My heart pounding, I was shaking as I slowly descended the staircase and walked back to the kitchen. This was silly. I don't believe in ghosts. Reaching the kitchen, I sat down and the owner pushed a cup of strong coffee in front of me. My hands were trembling and the hot liquid nearly spilled. The owner began to tell me the story of Sally. Sally, her husband, brother-in-law, and 8-year-old son were the original owners of the home. Sally had an affair with her husband's brother, and when he found out, the two men dueled in the hallway of the second floor. Both men died as a result of their wounds. Sally's son died a year later of typhoid. Sally died at the young age of 30, but what was said to be a broken heart. She shows herself only to people she approves of as guests in a home. But she's a kind ghost and is treated as another member of the family. Every once in a while, we see her son with her. The two brothers are probably the ones responsible for the tools missing. Just haven't seen them. I'm thinking, great, Sally likes me, but I don't believe in ghosts. The owner continued her story. I hired a seer to come evaluate the ghost situation. He identified all of the ghosts. The family is all buried at Lexington Cemetery. He told me to rent the metal detector and search around the fifth fence post from the front corner of the house. I would find Sally's wedding ring. So I did. And 2 feet down, I found her wedding ring with her initials. It's in this drawer. Walking to the sideboard, she opened a drawer and pulled out a small band with initials on the inside. My breath caught. The hairs on my arm stood up. Some deep breathing helped, mind over matter and calm me out. I had again convinced myself that Sally, or whatever it was merely a figment of my imagination. It was just an old ring. I don't believe in ghosts. I had finished my coffee, and since the open house was now over, the other agent and I prepared to leave. As we neared the front door, I felt a cool breeze. The goosebumps returned. The hair on the nape of my neck stood up. Chills went down my spine. Slowly, I turned around. At the top of the stairs stood Sally. She was smiling. The owner had told me where the family was buried at the cemetery, and because I am annoyingly curious, I later went to visit. There they all were. The whole family. Just as she said. Still a cynic, I went to the historic archives to search for the story. They were there. The seer's stories checked out. There was a picture of the widow. It was Sally. Now I believe. Ralph the Ghost. When my parents finally sold our old house on Queen Anne Hill in Seattle, they failed to mention Ralph to the buyers. After all, what are you required to disclose when you sell a house? Not Ralph, surely. My family moved out of town, but my sister still lived on Queen Anne. The new owners called her 2 weeks after moving and screaming, "Did your parents know when they sold us this house that it was haunted?" "I don't know what you're talking about," she calmly replied before hanging up and laughing like crazy. I'd known about Ralph since I was little. My brother Paul and I usually woke up early one morning. He was up first, sitting on the stairs, looking out through the banister when suddenly he yelped. I ran out to the hall, but Mom was already halfway down the stairs. She grabbed Paul and asked him what was wrong. He said he had seen something. "A blob," he said. "It was kind of a blob. Mom figured it must have been Ralph, so she told us about him. He was a ghost, she said. Ralph, he never hurt us, he just played tricks. Things were always going missing, keys, toys, books. Usually they show up in a few days, but not always where they'd been. The buffet in the dining room was a place where things were most likely to be found sooner or later. You'd be going through the dining room and something you couldn't find in your room or on the workbench in the basement, something you needed yesterday, would just be sitting there on the buffet. There were lots of ways Ralph could have scared any owners. I remember hearing footsteps on the attic stairs at night, creaking steps and then a door opening. One Christmas, tinsel on the tree swayed one strand at a time, and the trumpet tree ornament played a tune. Our dog, Cookie, would not, under any circumstances, even if you tried to drag or carry her, go into the basement or the attic. A friend of Mom stayed over once and got so rattled she swore she would never spend the night in our house again. Ralph took a lot of getting used to. One day, Mom was looking out the bay window in the dining room. Suddenly, she jumped, then turned around with her mouth wide open. She gave Dad, who was across the room, the funniest look. "Somebody just pinched me," she said. Dad started to walk across the room, but suddenly lurched sideways and stopped. He looked toward the kitchen, then the other way, to where I was standing in the doorway. "Something just bumped into me," he exclaimed. Mom answered, "It must have been Ralph." We always wondered if any owners got used to Ralph, or if they simply moved again. Down Beneath. Each Sunday morning during my childhood, my three cousins walked the 2 blocks from their home to ours, and we romped through all 3 stories of our family's large Victorian house. Built before the turn of the century, it had once belonged to 2 families of doctors who practiced at the nearby hospital. My older cousin, Timmy, had a penchant for treasure. Week after week, I trailed him as he searched our home for booty. We pried up floorboards in the attic, pounded on closets for hidden compartments, and checked for loose steps that might conceal a hiding place. But we found nothing of value until the day we decided to dig in the basement. The basement was large and rambling with multiple rooms and a dirt floor. It was dingy and dark, lit only by a few light bulbs dangling on dirty strings. It had never been one of my favorite places. I hated the smell of earth and mold that wafted out whenever someone opened the cellar door. But I was game to search for treasure. Shovels in hand, Timmy and I dug into a forbidden dirt pile at the foot of the stairs. I don't know quite what we hoped to find. Gold coins or discarded diamonds, perhaps? But what we did find was much more surprising. A bone. It turned out to be a large femur bone, part of a human thigh. And I still remember the sick feeling that washed over me when my cousin held it up to the dim light. We quickly exited the basement to show the bone to my parents, who wisely requested that we dig no further. Even without their admonition, we had no desire to delve deeper into the pile, afraid of what we might find. In fact, the entire experience had quelled our desire to look for buried treasure. When I visited my hometown, I drive by the old house where I spent my childhood and wonder if the new owners have ever stumbled across any bones in the basement. My cousins and I often joke that the house must be haunted. The discovery of the bones made us believe that it was. The Invisible. When I first moved to the Ozarks, my favorite pastime soon became cruising the winding back roads and marveling at the lovely vistas they revealed. On one drive, I stopped in front of the most beautiful house I had ever seen and sat in my station wagon, totally mesmerized. I suppose I must have looked suspicious because after a while, a woman emerged from the house. "Hi," I called out. "I'm new around here, so I've been driving around getting acquainted with the area, and your beautiful house has me under its spell." She came to the car and we introduced ourselves. Soon she invited me inside for coffee. Her name was Lana, and she lived by herself, like me, although things had not started out that way. I moved here with my wonderful husband, Paul, from New York City. Lana said over coffee. He was retired from the construction business. We bought this charming old ramshackle of a house on 65 acres and began remodeling it. But my dear Paul died of a heart attack halfway through the project. So suddenly, there I was, a 55-year-old woman in an unfinished house in the middle of the most beautiful nowhere in the country. What was I going to do? Well, you obviously decided to stay, I said. And the house looks pretty finished to me. Who did the work on it?
I did,
Lana replied. Well, I did have some help, she continued. I don't tell the story to many people because it's so unbelievable. After Paul died, I cried myself to sleep for weeks. My daughter, who still lives in New York, kept urging me to move back there. But I stayed on even though I was miserable. Then one night, Paul came to me in a dream. He told me he would help me finish the house, and that's just what he did. Lana explained that Paul started appearing in her dreams nightly, telling her what project to tackle next, and giving her detailed instructions. When she did the work, Lana swore she could feel an invisible pair of hands guiding her own. She continued for many months until the entire house was finished to perfection. Once the house was finished, Paul stopped communicating with me, but he's still here with me. I can feel his presence all the time, she said. Lana and I became good friends, even though she knew I was a skeptic when it came to ghosts. But people in the area did confirm that they had seen Lana working on her house and even offered to help, but she never wanted any. She told them she already had an extra pair of hands. One February, Lana went to visit her daughter and new grandchild in New York City. When she called me before the trip, I asked her if she was worried about leaving her house unoccupied. No, she answered, Paul will be here to look after it. On the second day of her absence, I got a call from Lana's neighbor informing me that her beautiful house had burned to the ground overnight. I was stunned and knew Lana would be devastated when she heard the news. 3 days later, four teenagers confessed to burning the house down. They said they had broken in and were helping themselves to soda from the refrigerator when they were scared out of their wits by an indignant ghost who slammed doors, banged on walls, and turned the lights on and off. We got out of there mighty fast after all the racket, one of the boys told the sheriff. But we went back the next night and set the house on fire. Paul doesn't want anyone else to live there, Lana wrote in one of her letters. Recently, I heard from Lana's daughter. She told me her mother had passed on and that she had sold the property to people who are building a new house and seemed very happy with it. They're together now, and there is no longer reason for him to stay on at Lost Creek Hollow, the letter concluded. The sick one. This happened to me back in eighth grade. I was lying on the couch in my family room one day. It was a calm day, no storms, no rain, just sunny weather, and my TV was on. The volume wasn't too high. I was sort of trying to fall asleep at the time, but anyway, I found myself unable to move suddenly. I knew I'd briefly fallen asleep. I tried to get up, but not only did I feel bound to the couch, but I also felt a weird sensation that something was watching me. I know it sounds weird to say it didn't feel like a hallucination, but it didn't. I truly had that odd feeling of another presence nearby, and I was the only one home. As I lay there, it didn't take long before I heard a weird coughing in the living room. I was in the family room. I could move my eyes and definitely open them somewhat widely as far as sleep paralysis goes. I started to notice a shadow making its way along the linoleum floor, creeping its way to the beginning of the carpet of the family room. The light over the dining table was on, as was the kitchen light, where the shadow was casting away from. Before anything else could happen, I was fully awoken as the phone rang. I shot up off the couch, rubbed my eyes, and ran to the phone, not thinking about what had just happened. As soon as I got to the phone, I noticed something odd about the caller ID. It displayed an odd number. I knew it couldn't be a phone number, but I picked it up and put the receiver to my ear. Hello? I muttered. I heard a weird static, like the kind you hear when the person on the other end isn't saying anything, and it's just that static buzzing. Hello? I called again. This time, I heard a voice breathe in, about to speak. Your day will get weird. I heard a raspy Scooby-Doo villain type voice say, then a weird clicking sound, almost like they had hung up. I heard two more clicks, and as I was about to hang up, now it becomes weirder. I was too puzzled to speak, so I listened for a moment longer. I heard more rustling, like the caller was messing with the phone cord or something. Then, more quickly than the previous line, he, she, it said, now it gets entirely bizarre. And then I heard more rustling, and then another voice joined in. And they both sort of groaned, and then one, the more normal one, said, that's about how he said it in the movie, right? Then, quite so. Then, almost immediately, the only sound was the dial tone. I slowly sat down the phone and looked around a little bit. Just a dream, right? Well, I wasn't sure. You know, when you're awake and when you're dreaming, in a dream, you can't fully comprehend the world around you. Strange and unexplainable things happen. In real life, when you're awake, you just know it. I was not dreaming. But then I checked the caller ID and gasped. That call hadn't been recorded in the caller history thing. I heard yet another weird sound upstairs. It was that same coughing I'd heard previously. It sounded sick, as though whoever it was about to vomit. I gained a little bit of courage and made my way to the stairs in the big living room. My mom was at work and my dad lived in Denver. We lived in another part of Colorado. Obviously, though, I was not alone. It felt like forever before I got to the top of the stairs and looked around for whatever it could have been that made the coughing sounds I'd heard. It would have made sense to guess that someone was playing a prank on me, but I had no friends back then or enemies, so this baffled me. I detected no sign of intrusion anywhere in the house. All the doors and windows were locked. No broken glass was anywhere, and the basement door was always closed and locked. I briefly looked in my mom's room, and after I concluded it was empty, I crossed the small hallway into the laundry room. It was barely big enough for one person and quite dark. No way anyone was in there. The only option left was to search my room and the guest room, which sat on either side of the laundry room, and were both connected by a long bathroom. I heard 2 feet shifting somewhere. I thought against going into the guest room, as in my childhood, I'd always felt an odd presence in that room. Well, that's another story. But then I wondered if that same presence had materialized as a ghost. I immediately scolded myself for such an outlandish thought. But then it almost seemed like something, some voice or force, was answering my thoughts. I crept into the guest bedroom and searched around. I didn't feel as strong of a presence now as I always had, but it was definitely there. The room was as it had always been. The made bed, not used for over 6 years, the dusty bookshelf, littered with remnants of the good old days, and a small blue shelf with a lamp. Then I looked to the bathroom door. Until then, I'd always thought I'd heard strange sounds coming from the guest room and the bathroom anytime I'd be near it. However, my mom never said anything about it. I may never know if she had heard these things or not, but I know I did. The guest room had once been my sister's when she lived with us. After she moved out, I always sensed that weird presence in there. Now, as I crept for the bathroom door, I got a weird chill that ran through my body. Not one of excitement, but of a sudden and unexplainable fear. I drew nearer and nearer, until my teeth were almost chattering. I had never felt like this before. The house was like 50 degrees that day, and it was summer. I had been uncomfortably warm all day and all week. I slammed my eyes shut, swallowed, opened my eyes again, and looked into the bathroom to find nothing unusual. The light shone in from the small rectangular window. The bathtub shined. The sink on the other end of the room was calm. Sometimes it dripped for no reason. And overall, the weird sensation seemed to go away. What was that all about? Wait a second, Something was odd. First, I went to the mirror to make sure nothing was weird about me. Nope, nothing weird at all. I just stared at my reflection for a moment, then turned, as a weird sound emanated from the tub. The sound of a small piece of something hitting the tub floor caught my attention. Then two more. Then the sound of a bigger piece clattered to the floor. Then three more mid-sized ones. I turned and peered around the side of the half wall that separated the two sides of the room. What the hell? The tile wall was crumbling away. A big chunk of the wall was gone, right toward the corner. Soon, a piece fell away, revealing a small hole. Then, more around it fell off, increasing the size of the hole. I stepped back, prepared to defend myself, but a few minutes passed, and the crumbling ceased. When all seemed calm enough, I slowly took a step toward the tub. I stepped into the tub and kept my gaze on the hole, afraid to look away in case it was a hallucination and would disappear. I blinked. It was still there. I reached up to touch the edges, and it was definitely not my eyes playing tricks on me. I peered inside the pitch black hole, and suddenly I watched as a pale white arm swept across the hole from the other side. It was like someone was standing on the left side of the hole against the wall and had scratched their cheek or something, and that was their arm lowering back to their side. That's the best way to put it. Afraid to look inside any closer, I backed up. I heard the person right there breathe out, and instead of running, I angrily said, "What do you want?" But nobody answered. In fact, that weird feeling that I was accompanied by a presence suddenly lifted. I moved up to the hole and prepared to stick my head in and look around. But pain shot through my head as it hit solid wall. I shut my eyes in pain and rubbed the spot, then looked up. The hole was gone.